Right now, you're listening to Hip Hop Digest with E Green, King Killer B, and Kurt G.
But we don't even understand where all the battles lie. There's psychological battles, there's spiritual battles going on. We're not even fighting those. We're just fighting what we think is a physical battle, you know, or some sort of political battle. But we're not even fighting on, and they're fighting hard on those other fronts, on the psychological level, on a spiritual level. They're literally fighting for your fucking soul. Fucking soul, fucking soul, fucking soul, fucking soul. Fucking
welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
I'm good about your boy, Kurt G.
And of course, it's E Color. What's up, fellas?
What's good?
Yo, you want to know what's good?
What's good?
I know a girl named Daisha. She real major.
She
on the phone with us. What up, sweetheart?
Hello, Hip Hop Digest. Oh, he's Sashi Booty. It's been such a long time.
What's up, little sis?
You grown up now.
I know.
Very happy to be back. Thank you for having me. Thank you, listeners. Oh, I missed all of you. I missed all of you. So I'm glad I get to hear your voices and have a conversation with you, not just in my head.
All right.
And on Twitter.
Yeah, we're talking to you before the show. You make us so humble. The way you talk about us. It's like, damn, she's talking about us.
Yes. Y'all been out here forever. Y'all OGs in this podcast game.
Yeah, you need to send me a link so I can listen to them dudes.
Yeah. Them OGs.
I love it.
All right, let's get in. First up, we're going to Hip Hop Digest. Former manager, NWA manager, I should say, Jerry Heller dies at the age of 75. Jerry Heller was instrumental in the growth and development of West Coast hip hop, co-founding Ruthless Records with Eazy-E, signing numerous rap acts to the label, including NWA, the DOC, signing Dr. Dre and Ren to solo deals, and putting his fingerprint on West Coast hip-hop. Heller served as the music manager and working with a plethora of regular pop acts, meaning Ike and Tina Turner, Elton John, Otis Redding, Pink Floyd, Black Sabbath, and Styx, just to name a few. Jerry Heller has passed away, was suing NWA for, I don't know, what was it, like $30 million?
It was something crazy.
Something ridiculous. Yeah, for his portrayal in the film Straight Outta Compton. Obviously, that situation was tossed. Heller's manager said he died basically of a broken heart due to the lawsuit.
Clickbait.
Let's keep it real all the way.
No disrespect, but that sound like clickbait.
That's who that is.
That's who that is.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're gonna talk about Jerry Heller. Jerry Heller was actually—I'm not even gonna say he wasn't the original Jay Jerkin label owner.
Of course not.
You know?
Oh, they've been jerking since the beginning.
Right. Right. I guess you could lay that at the feet of Sylvia Robinson and them over at Sugar Hill.
Exactly. Don't matter the color or whatever, you getting jerked if you're on a label.
But what I will say about Jerry Heller is that because of his contacts in the music industry, NWA did, and he did help them blow. Maybe he was stealing their money, but they did blow in part to the Jerry Heller.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt at all. He has to be given his... I mean, you know, everybody has said whatever they said. The movie made it look however it looked. But at the end of the day, which it is at this point, you know, you got to give him his credit for what, what his fingerprint in that is.
Yeah, indeed. So I guess my thing about Jerry Heller is that all things aside, you put that all things aside, obviously his credit and this, that, and the third. Ruthless Records at one time, it was unstoppable.
Yeah.
They had a lot of heat over there.
Ruthless Records was absolutely unstoppable. And he certainly ran a label. Obviously, it fell. All those details are covered in a movie for the most part. So, anyway, we're going to shout out to Jerry Heller. I mean, Ice Cube and everybody sort of now look back with sort of fond memory and understanding that he was the launch of their career. They're not giving him any props for stealing money.
And I'm going to give a shameless plug. We're just some little Hip Hop Digest show dudes, right? We nobody. But this guy actually did have two conversations with me about getting on the damn show. And then the movie happened, and it was a wrap. So,
wow.
You know, it was pretty cool that I could say I actually did have a conversation with that dude recently.
When did you meet him?
Huh?
When did you meet him?
Oh, I didn't meet him. It's a good old, the internet is a wonderful thing. There's a whole bunch of egos on the internet, and you can reach out to almost any of them.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So it was an honor to actually have had conversations with that dude, but I was so close to getting him, but that movie came out and his focus went totally somewhere else.
Wow, that's incredible.
Well, thank you for his contribution. I finally got to see NWA last weekend in Brooklyn at Afropunk, so that was amazing. And I guess thanks to him for that. All right.
There you go.
There you go.
All right. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest. Pete Rock is my hero.
Oh, shit.
Pete Rock blasts Lil Yachty. This time, last week it was Uzi Vert. This week it's Lil Yachty.
It wasn't Uzi Vert last
was
week.
It? Who was it last week?
Lil who?
Lil Young Dude.
No, it was Young Dog.
Young Dog.
I'm sorry. They all are.
The crack baby from the 80s last week.
They all exactly. Look alike and sound alike anyway. I'm sorry. Last week it was Young
the
Dog.
Old hating ass
nigga. All y'all niggas look alike. Every one of y'all motherfuckers. Bunch of mop head bastards.
Get names right.
Lil Young, who?
Hey, that's the dude from China.
Anyway. Lil Young Fu.
So anyway, the Atlanta rapper was a hit with an Instagram from Pete Rock that featured the headline, when a whack rapper is asked to freestyle, and then he throwing a lot of poop emojis.
Doo-doo.
Your boy Yachty responded, "You don't want no problems, big fella. Fuck you old niggas.
You don't want no problems.
Yo, Pete Rock is my hero, man.
Pete Rock took the gloves off now.
Hey, look,
why do you think this is?
Fuck these niggas.
He's just fed up. I mean, what do you think it is?
It probably is.
Look,
he's probably been tired of just trying to act like he wanted it. Like these niggas are trying to bring him in, and now it's like, fuck him. That's where he's at now.
How long have we been talking about this, where veteran niggas want to sit around, they want to stroke young niggas' egos in terms of getting a job or being on beats or trying to get a spot on somebody's tour and shit? I mean,
long time.
Pete Rock, it's at a Pete Rock, at a, whether it's Dolph, Yahtzee, or any of these niggas, there's zero... There's zero association that Pete Rock got to worry about with them.
Right. That's not even anywhere near his lane.
The key question is, what's wrong with telling guys, no matter how popular they may be amongst the youth, but that they can't rhyme, that they aren't good?
He said the youth, nigga, the youth.
That's where I'm going to get to. Gee, you need to explain to me how we got to the point where now you can't even call guys who aren't good, not good.
Zero tolerance.
Zero. Exactly. You're at the point now, B, where it's a line in the sand. And motherfuckers, the young niggas ain't fucking with us. We ain't fucking with them. And you got OG niggas that's trying to reach out, and we calling them niggas fucking sellouts, saying y'all niggas trying to reach across the aisle for these motherfuckers. Shout out to our man KB, too. He was trying to get us up on that. Trying to put us up on trying to bring these young niggas in.
Right.
And you wasn't falling for the shit then. Not at all. But still, these young niggas is not fucking with us, B. And we ain't fucking with them. And we at a point where there's no way. I don't think there's no fixing this shit. We can't fix it at this point.
You can't fix it because they're not hip hop. They don't. First of all, they're not even MC, so they don't rhyme. Actually, I seen in the comments, it was like most of these niggas make music for white kids who want to cut themselves.
Damn. Wow. Not that.
Yes.
What the fuck?
That's what I seen in the comments. I mean.
Damn.
They're just rappers. The problem is that they're in a box and they can sit in that box and stay there. Like, if my favorite rapper can make party tracks for girls, hood songs, street, like, they're very versatile. These rappers are only... I can only make drugged out zombie dance tracks. That's it. It's like, okay, you can only do that. So when we call you whack, that's what we mean. Like, you're just not versatile at all. And your career isn't really going to be that long, so we're just sitting here talking about you and laughing at you, and that's a problem with them and their young egos and the whole generation, since everybody's like, nobody wants to say an opposing opinion now out of their generation, so they're all just like, oh, you guys are haters. All y'all are old haters, and stop talking about my favorite rapper's dress. So I don't know.
Shots fired.
They're just not versatile. That's it. Because I don't have a problem with you doing certain things. It's like, yeah, I like your song for whatever the purpose is that I'm listening to it for. It may be just dancing. It may be just putting my makeup on. But then I can't really listen to you besides that. And that's what makes you not my favorite.
Actually, I'm going to continue my constant drum beat. They're not even hip hop. I mean, they may Ooh. Make some form of quasi-styled rap music, I guess if you want to call it that. But it's really not hip-hop. And the key thing is that we're going to have to build a movement to separate those guys from us. I don't care if they're young or not. I don't give a fuck about it. Y'all don't make hip-hop. Have the courage to put yourself in a whole other lane and not to be considered. Like I said, to me, it's a stereotype. Just because you're young and black with a microphone under your mouth don't make you a rapper. Don't make
Can I tell
part
you what you
hip-hop.
Sound like, King Killer?
What do I sound like?
You sound like hip-hop segregation today.
Yes, he
hip-hop
does.
Hip-hop segregation tomorrow. Oh. Hip-hop segregation forever.
He's always been that nigga. He's always been Wallace back here.
And I know there's some guys in the culture be like, yo, that's the wrong way to go about it. You got to bring them in. They don't want to be brung in.
Well, that's the thing there. That is the thing right there. Then you can tell that by somebody disrespecting Pete Rock like that. You can tell they don't give a fuck. And that just shows that they don't even understand the real
hip-hop culture.
They're
also on drugs, and I don't know why people like don't address that fact. They're not even of sane mind, so why even entertain the conversation of like, oh, they're going to respect somebody older than them. Like, they don't respect themselves, so I don't expect much out of them. Like, I just accept them where they are and just keep them there.
Okay. So what's up?
Final word.
Well, this isn't exactly the final word, because the next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is your boy Young Panda himself, designer arrested on gun and drug charges. Panda. When you sent me this, I couldn't believe it.
Panda. Yeah.
19-year-old. The 19-year-old was involved in a dispute that occurred in the Lincoln Tunnel about 1 a.m.
Road rage.
The police were called. The police found a designer's white Range Rover with drugs in plain sight. A gun was also recovered, OxyContin, along with other type of hallucinogenics or whatever the fuck they
loose
are.
Loose drugs, they
yeah,
should
loose
be.
Drugs.
And fucking Thin Mints or whatever the fuck.
Rolling around on the dashboard, like, what are you doing?
Bingo.
Designer was subsequently charged with criminal possession of a weapon, criminal possession of a controlled substance with the intent to sell, and third degree menacing.
And wait a minute, you said this happened in New York?
Lincoln Tunnel.
Okay, so that's that automatic jail.
Woo. Yeah.
You'd rather get caught with drugs than a fucking gun in New York.
Yeah. New York has one of the strictest gun laws, especially in the city.
Diggy, darn you.
And Daisha just said these niggas don't respect themselves. And they own drugs. She just said that.
Drugs. Look, it's everywhere. It's all over the car seat.
Only drugs make you act that way. He didn't give a fuck. The cops rolled up. He didn't try to hide them shits. It's just all out on the seat everywhere.
You have enough problems just being black dealing with cops, but you want to have guns and drugs all across the car. Okay.
And Jason's off that Nancy Reagan. Just say no.
Just say no. I know. What happened to that campaign? What happened to say no to drugs?
It was just saying no, but too busy saying yeah. It's
too busy saying yeah to the cartels.
This is your brain on drugs. Any questions? That affected me when I was little. I remember that. I didn't want a scrambled egg on a frying pan. Bring that back. They need to bring that back.
I think it's too gone now.
It's 2 a.m. Do you know where your kids are?
Gee, right. I got to ask you a question.
What's up?
Yo, I mean, isn't this going to have a boost on your boy Young Doc Designer's career?
You think he's going to get some street cred now? You think Future going to leave him alone now, stop biting my style?
I don't know about that, but I'm just talking about the actual boost. So, you know, each day they're going to cover, you know, how much he's going to get out of jail and how much bail. Are they going to want to do a plea agreement? because just came over the wires that your boy Bobby Shmurda is getting 7 years.
I just read that.
Yeah.
Jail.
These are children.
They are.
He pled guilty. Got
jail
seven.
For real. Right. Like for real, behind bars. Clink, door slamming. Lights out.
And I'm sure
ain't nobody talk what I'm talking, so shut the fuck up.
So I guess the point I'm saying is that there's a couple of things that's going to go on behind the scenes. You're going to have people who like Future going to be like, good, that nigga is going to be shut down for a while. He's going to jail. Fuck that nigga. For designer fans themselves are going to be like, yo, now he's proven that he's a real tough guy. You know, now
on
when
drugs.
He comes out, you know,
on drugs, having a road rage incident.
Right. I guess if that's what they count as being a real tough guy.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Actually, you know what? I think it's going to be a net negative because it isn't like it used to be, or it probably never really was that way. He'll probably get an initial bump as far as streams and record sales, but after about 3.5 years in the lockup with no new records,
oh, this nigga's going to plead all the way out.
Bobby and Designer ain't been out that long for them to have that kind of effect for when they go to jail that they're going to have longevity. It's like, nah, they're not Gucci and all these other people who's like, they have a solid fan base who are craving an album. Y'all are just like one-hit wonders. Nobody's really going to care. So they should have waited a little bit longer to get in trouble, and then maybe they would have been able to last a bit. But not no 7 years. Ain't nobody checking for Bobby Shmurda after 7 years.
Ooh.
7 months.
Career is over.
Looking for him. Who's out? Nobody's looking for this dude right now. Like, not even now. That's your
iPhone
fans.
20 will be out.
Where's
when he
gets generation
out?
At now? Like, where's all these fans? I don't see no free Bobby Shmurda t-shirts. Like,
you better not.
Not the same ride or die fans that you would have had years ago if your favorite rapper went to jail. It's not the same.
Yeah, no doubt. So, actually, speaking of Bobby Shmurda, they already said it. So there's no, when Shmurda gets out of jail, there's no, you know, Shmurda's in the studio. His album's going to drop out. It's a wonder that True Life album after doing 10 years for Jay-Z, it's not coming, is it? That True Life album's not coming out, is it, G?
Oh, he's probably going to work on something. He might put a mixtape or something out.
Okay.
I'm okay. Still waiting for Shine. To do, is anyone else? No? Okay. I'm still waiting for Shine to come out.
I thought he turned into a Hasidic.
Yeah, he's done.
Yeah, he's finished.
See, look at that.
So, all right, young designer, congratulations.
You're now.
You've made it.
A statistic. Young black nigga in jail.
Koala.
Oh, shit. What you say, Killer? I hope he got his investments, dude.
In a remix.
Hey, that's what I always say, yo. I hope his 401k is fully funded.
Yeah, you might want to sell that Range Rover. Put some of that money in the bank.
So, yo, but real quick before we get out of this topic, New York, though, yo, he's going to get some years, though.
Yes,
he might not get 7 years like Shmurda, but he might get like 3-4 years, son.
I'm thinking if this is his first offense, he might be able to get off with some community service type shit.
But doesn't
depends on how good his
New
lawyer
York
is.
Pennsylvania also give you
that's a
plus
nickel
years for each bullet that's in the gun.
Oh, that's if you have a certain type of a bullet.
Yeah,
but
okay,
in Pennsylvania, you're gonna get a nickel for the gun anyway.
Yeah, you get the gun and the bullets.
So. All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is De La Soul's first album in 12 years debuts at number one on the Billboard rap charts. Now, we already talked about the album, but this is a key thing. I read that headline, and there's no other dick-riding commercial covering blogs who bring that up. Not a one.
These old ass niggas, we ain't fucking with them.
And it was crowdsourced. Crowdfunded.
Right.
That was like the main part of the headline that I was just like, wow, congratulations, number one. That is crazy. And nobody's talking about it. I mean, the album, period. Like, I don't know anybody who's like, yo, did you get that new De La Soul? Like, nobody I know who's talking about it, who's De La Soul fans. And I'm just thinking, these people really, I mean, they really have been grinding because I'm on their email list too. So whenever they release music, whenever they need money for an album, I'm getting all of those emails. So that really worked. It really worked. I was just proud of the whole marketing and how they just got the money and the budgeting for it. But nobody's talking about it. What have y'all heard?
Well, my circles are talking about it. Not like King Killer said, it ain't all out there in the commercial world. except for those, you know, those couple of headlines you see. But what's more important than that to me is that everybody that put $5 or whatever amount of dollars they put in, it should feel good as shit about that.
Mm-hmm.
The only headline I found on a commercial blog, and I'm stating this, reading it verbatim, how De La Soul beat Young Thug to number one using an outdated strategy. So I wonder, the blogs, who they're all over a lot of different things, especially in the commercial world. Here you have a clear cut, at least for a week, where De La Soul album comes out the same week as the Young Thug Sylvester cover, and boom, we're not going to cover it, we're not going to talk about it. That didn't happen
because they were all prepared to write the stories for Sylvester being number one.
Right,
they was all cut. They had that shit already locked and stocked. They was ready, and then here comes these old hating ass niggas come in and just steal the shine.
Swoop.
Again, those of you just don't know who it is, just Wikipedia. I'm sure Sylvester. You'll get a full explanation of who he
and
is.
And not the cat,
right?
Yes, we explained that one
exactly.
So
that's pretty dope, though. That is pretty amazing.
De La Soul's first,
the arguable greatest rap group in history, is still doing it.
First album in 12 years, gentlemen. Congratulations.
And it's number one.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
How the fuck did that happen? What an outdated strategy. I'm telling you, just saying that alone lets you know they was pissed.
You think, yep, they were pissed?
Fuck,
really,
them niggas.
You really think that the regular rap blogs was just mad? Like, how did they do it?
Pissed me.
No, I think they were more so ready to talk about the dress. And that, the greatness of that and whatever else came out. They probably figured that De La would be a little blip. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They didn't prepare any writers or people to cover that shit.
Yes.
They scrambling now. Like, oh, shit. Hurry up. Go download that shit and listen to it.
All right. That's what's up. Next up, I'm going to Hip Hop Digest is, and I'm going to hit this right on the head, fake retirement. Lil Wayne's retirement is a sad reminder of how brutal the music business is. Now, we all know Wayne's not retiring. I'm thinking...
So long.
So long. Sayonara. Arrivederci.
We know he's not retired. He's
have a nice trip.
He's probably got an album in the can ready to drop. But all that aside, he announced his retirement for a myriad of reasons. Number one, he said shady business practices. He said you have the people who wrote the article talking about he belongs in your top five no matter who you are. Which is bullshit.
Not mine.
Ain't that the truth?
Definitely not.
He said under a 25-year partnership with Cash Money, finally defeated him mentally, and he's done. There's a couple of things, and even though there's no such thing as rap retirement, there's a couple of things that could be at a foot here. The first thing is his health, mental and physical. We all know he has addiction problems.
They try to make me go to rehab.
So we all know he has physical problems. The seizures and such probably bring on by the addiction. Who knows? But as you start to get older, it's hard for me to believe. I mean, we were already old hating ass niggas when he entered the game as a young 13-year-old.
I wasn't until he said he was the greatest alive. I didn't even care about Wayne until he said that.
Well... You got a whole generation of guys who are going to argue Wayne's greatness now only because he was the guy on the scene. I don't know how.
Yes, because I would say, don't let me hear his record. Show me his lyrics written on a piece of paper.
Yeah, but
then
you're
show
not,
me the greatness.
Yeah, but then you're not going to do that. You're not.
No, because they can't. What the fuck? He wasn't saying shit. He had a couple of witty rhymes, and I'm gonna argue still with Sim City about that. Whoever, that was just some bullshit.
Wobble, 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 wobble. Sorry. And number two,
he's making Robbie like his heart.
And number two, he's a parent. He's got four children. The oldest is, which is 17. Maybe now he's thinking, you know, damn, maybe I better be a better example.
I actually think it's really getting ready to take care of himself, B. Like you said, he might have an album in the can, But yo, B, all this drama with this fucking Caesars and shit? You need to take care of yourself, homie. We said that. No matter what we feel about his music, we ain't trying to see that young boy have nothing, you know, no problems like that. Go take care of yourself.
He ran out of place to put tats, so now he's retiring. That's my theory. That's it. Nothing more.
Let me ask you a question. Young Kobe, wouldn't he be the age of a Wayne fan?
Yeah, he was a big Wayne fan back in the day.
Now, are they representing Wayne, from your estimation, as far as you can see, are they representing Wayne in a way somebody would represent, Run DMC?
No.
Really?
No, he's not. No, he's the moved on now. He's all Kendrick now.
What?
Yeah.
What?
He's not fucking with Wayne like that.
He has evolved.
Evolved.
B, I'm stunned. I'm stunned.
Stunning like
because
a daddy.
Because you got guys running around here. You got Aubrey and a few others who are like, it starts to end with Wayne. You mean to tell me young Kobe is moved on to Kendrick Lamar?
Yeah. Wayne ain't got heat no more.
Wow. And he
goodbye.
So do you think he would represent his legacy?
He might. I don't know. You have to question him, though.
Okay.
You have to question him next time you come around.
All right. I'm just trying to get to the point now, because I know for a fact, I know Master P guys who are not even representing his legacy.
Angry intern.
Yeah, shout out to
Gif. Damn. You're under the bus, nigga.
Oh, yeah. Under the Greyhound, my nigga. Yes.
So, that's what's up. Yo, and I'm sure Wayne's 401k is fully funded.
It should be.
Oh, it better be. But then again, it might be in a suitcase, or excuse me, a briefcase somewhere.
So, all right. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest, and I'm going to turn to our guest for this one. We past couple of weeks been talking about rape culture and what it may or may not be. And I'm going to start this conversation with a headline. Wiz Khalifa rejects Amber Rose's proposal of a threesome rebound sex. Now, that has nothing to do with hip-hop. It probably has nothing to do with rape culture. But I set that up as a platform to say to our guest to explain to us what is rape culture and why do headlines like that not get challenged in the pantheon of rape culture. I turn the floor over to Daisha, our lovely guest.
Don't turn the floor over to me because I got a vagina. First of all, thank the Lord, I personally have never, ever been raped or in any kind of situation where I've been sexually assaulted. So I definitely can't speak on behalf of that, but I don't believe in this term rape culture. Like, whatever that keyword is, there's just humans and they're terrible people. Like, people are just bad. Like, I don't know what people are trying to do with the term culture, like adding the word culture onto it. Like, there is no culture. People get raped all across the globe under different cultures, under different upbringings, different circumstances, male, female, male, male, female, female, adult, children. Like, everybody's getting raped in certain situations. That doesn't make it a culture. So I don't like that the dialogue is this thing, like this hashtag rape culture. Like, let's have a conversation, period, about raising children, about talking about sex, how we're raising people to be adults just across the board. So I don't know what direction people are trying to go in with the word rape culture. So you'll have to educate me on this.
Well, again, last week, I'm only going on what I have read about what rape culture is, and having read that, I found it to be quite confusing.
Because it doesn't exist, because it's made up for media. It's like, no, this is a serious problem, period.
Catchphrasing in the media is something else, ain't it?
Rape culture on campus and rape culture in music. It's like, no, people are doing bad things to other people, period. What are the circumstances surrounding that? And is it a massive upbringing that's the same? It's like, no, people that are raping people on college campuses are coming from homes or hometowns or friends or groups of men or women who feel like they can rape other people or put them in you know, compromising circumstances. That has nothing to do with rape culture on campus. It's like, nah, y'all just brought your raping ass criminal selves onto a university yard. Like, that's it. That's all I think it is.
Well, let me answer a question. And one thing that I read and continue to read is a situation of control and about who has particular control. So as a man, I'm looking at it from this point of view. If you have, and it doesn't have to be a celebrity, although it probably is best described through current celebrities who feel like, you know, I could show my ass, and obviously no one deserves to get raped. That's not what I'm saying. But I have control, so I can show my ass. I can pull the titties out in front of people, and you don't, number one, have the right to touch. Now, that's not going to apply to, like you said, to some criminal ass lowlife who has no control over themselves.
No filter.
No under emotional or otherwise, who feel like, oh, you pulled the ass out, I'm going to take it. But I guess on the other hand, I'm looking at control. Isn't what Amber Rose doing a matter of control? I'm going to control when I show my ass and who I show it to and how many times I put it in the media. You as a man, you don't have a right to do anything about it. I have the control. Is that what I feel like rape culture, or at least the reversal as far as a feminist standpoint of rape culture, is to be able to do that?
I feel like everybody's just looking at it completely wrong. Like, where is the conversation with men? Just because you have a penis, you feel as though you have to use it all the time because you see a nipple. Like, I don't understand the mentality of, even, I don't know if this is true. I'm not a man. I was never raised or had conversations as if I was a boy growing up. So I don't know what you guys are told or what y'all say amongst yourselves. But whatever this thing is where men are, they're out of control because, oh, they have a penis, they have these sexual urges, and all men cheat. Like, this dialogue is what's built around men. So that's like a masculine culture thing. Like, oh, we cheat, we got a penis, look at all these women running around. Like, oh, it's uncontrollable. Why is it uncontrollable? Like, I guess by nature, you guys can't control your erections, and that goes with puberty and growing up. But then what is the conversation surrounding that when you're older and it's a situation of, oh, this woman wants to be free with her body around me. She wants to show off her body for whatever reason. Why in his mind does he think, oh, I can take that because of whatever my upbringing was? That's where I think the conversation is going wrong. I guess Amber Rose is doing it for shock value, but still, the conversation isn't there yet.
Oh, and I agree. I think you could and should have that conversation as far as men. I think men, rightly or wrongly, are held, now the culture has shifted. Men are being held responsible now, whether they want to be or not. I mean, certainly, you know, at the drop of a hat, a woman who accuses someone of sexual assault, you'll never see that woman's name in the media, but you'll see the man. You know, men are getting sentenced to crazy long prison terms. Not, you know, that Brock Turner, that white boy, he just happened to have rich parents and money. I mean, that's why he got away with it.
Affluenza.
You know what I mean? There's no question about that. So, as a man, I'm not saying that I did not, being raised by a single mother, it was never, you know, okay where, oh, if it's just out there, just take it. I mean, I don't know where that comes from. It may come off like that. Again, I'm so ill-equipped to answer those questions. And maybe that's the problem, that I don't have the answers.
But I feel like it starts with the, oh, grab her ass or touch her titty when she walks past. Like, it starts there, which is, that can be at a very young age for, like, little toddlers who are laughed at when they go up and touch a girl's boob and they're not being corrected, like, no, you don't do that, to where just little boys in school where it's, oh, this is a joke, I touched her butt, where you're going, oh, this is very innocent. But it's not innocent, but it's looked at as innocent because of their age, and actually that's where it starts. So I don't think we're going back far enough, and I don't think we're having the conversation early enough and keeping it consistent as they're getting older, because it changes. The conversation changes. And we're not even going to talk about the whole hip-hop culture, all of that, just women and look at them and their bodies and that and the other, because I don't understand how you have tribes around the world where women's breasts are out. They're not wearing clothes, and I'm pretty sure they're not being raped all the time just because they're naked around men.
Good point.
Can't tell me because I'm walking around in a mini skirt, I deserve what I'm going to get. Like, I could literally be butt naked, tribe full of men, and I wouldn't be touched.
That's true. I think, well, now that goes into the larger cultural aspects of what is exactly what it is. You're right. It may start that way, but just like at the same time, I think that women and girls are taught, hey, if you got a banging body, you can use this as a platform for income. I mean, I think I look at it kind of the same way. You're right. And maybe as far as little boys in the third grade or whatever, and he's touching a girl's butt. I mean, that is a cultural impact of the society we live in, United States.
Drip club.
But yeah, but you're right. Exactly.
And then you got little girls on Instagram whose moms are encouraging them to twerk and do all these older things. It's like, yeah, that conversation has to be had too with females. Okay, this isn't going to benefit her when she gets older if she doesn't understand what she's actually doing with a body that she doesn't have yet as a child, and what's going to happen when she does have one. So, yeah, it's both ways, male and female. Nobody's having the conversation.
So, as a father, I remember when my oldest daughter, she was about 13, maybe 13, 14. I took her to the Greek picnic in Philadelphia.
Oh, Lord.
I took her for one specific reason. And as we walked around the park, and we walked around, and we seen the young ladies with asses out, the whole synopsis that we just explained, and guys walking up and grabbing their asses, but not that they needed their asses grabbed or deserved to have their asses grabbed, but I let my young daughter see that, and I said to her, it depends on how you want to be treated and how you carry yourself. Just to let her see. Because there were plenty of women who weren't getting their asses grabbed, but they didn't have their asses out. Now, you can give it a sum total all you want. I thought as a father, I needed to teach that lesson that you don't have to be one of those girls. Not that it was her responsibility to dictate how a man treats her, but how she's going to treat herself, the value she's going to put on herself. So, I mean, that's just my personal example.
I got to give a incredible big shout out to our family over there, Black Is, because I just did some moonlighting with them, and there's a show coming up on that topic, B. And I got to be honest, it was a 3-hour conversation on rape culture. It got heated. It got heated between the men and the women. It got heated between the women and the women. And It didn't give me any kind of clarity. There's no kind of clarity because there's all these ideas out here about what it is. Because I'm just speaking freely right now. No, I should not look at a woman and be like, yo, I want to fuck just because she has on something very revealing. I mean, even if I do think that, there is nothing that I should do about that, right? Except thinking. But there are people that don't. There are people that see that and feel like they can do whatever they want. Like you said, the guys running up, grabbing butts and whatnot. But at the same time, you know, people can wear whatever they want. And what Daisha said earlier about, you know, the tribes in Africa and other places where you walk around topless and naked for that matter and don't get bothered. So I don't, is it American culture? I don't know. It's just very confusing.
It is Western culture. There's no doubt. It is no doubt. I mean, we can drill it down as far as you want, but it's an overriding cultural sensitivity.
I mean, we look at TV, and again, not to say that, you know, other countries don't have very explicit things on TV. I got caught out there looking for I'm going to just say this too. I was looking for a girl star from Atlanta. She was put out somewhere on social media about this series called Love on Netflix. And I went to look for it because it's a little quirky show. I said, let me try to see what this is about. And I turned on this other thing called Love, which was an independent film from France that I swear for all goodness, it was a porn flick, B, on Netflix. So I was caught out there. So it's like other countries are like, whatever, this is what it is. But over here, I guess because it's been suppressed so long and now it's just like on full freaking blast. You got 50 Cent showing full hardware. You got, you know, all kind of stuff going on, and our kids at a young age see this. We don't monitor what our kids are watching and what our kids are listening to. The music that's on the radio is all about young men doing things to young women. It's all about being the man and having all these women and all kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. It's very hard. But it swings both ways.
Because you talking about music. I hear Rihanna talking about sex with me is amazing.
Oh, exactly.
So it goes all over the place, man. As far as music,
Beyonce too.
Yes.
I mean, but the opposite of that are the desert cultures where men aren't even allowed to be with or around women, and you see they're completely covered up, and yet I'm being told that how men look at women when they do get around them, it's like this animalistic look that you have never seen before. Like my homegirl, she contracts in Afghanistan, and her being a black female there, and she's just like, yo, I have never seen a man look at me like that in America. Like the look that they have, one, because it's like, oh, you're a female, but then you're working like this military looking. So it's all this combination. She was like, it looks like they want to literally rip me apart. And you have a lot of rape coming out of that culture because women literally are nothing. You know what I mean? You have pockets with
right,
women.
But you also think about nothing. How our
and that has nothing to do with music. They're not exposed. All their women are completely covered up. So it's not even that. That's not even an argument then.
Well, no, I wouldn't even really say it's an argument. I just think that until I think both sides really acknowledge the monumental task of the overwhelming Western culture, you're never gonna, I mean, until you sort of say that, you're right. I mean, we could sit here in a lab and say how it should be, but versus how it really is. Now, again, you know, hey, in the terms of pornography, only women make money in pornography. Men don't make money in pornography. Now, whether men control that business or not, I don't know. But in the Western culture, there is a role that women have, rightly or wrongly, from the standpoint of making money with your sexuality. Men do not make money from their sexuality, period. Very few men do anyway.
There is a couple.
Very few. But yeah. Overwhelmingly,
I'm speaking of actors and shit.
No, but I'm just saying, right, overwhelmingly women make money due to how they look.
Right.
And their sexuality in the culture. And it doesn't have to be just porn. That's just regular everyday actors
exactly.
And actresses.
Yeah.
So, I mean, until somehow, in a way, until somehow we can get around that, and I don't see American Western culture changing anytime soon, I think there's a certain amount of things that we're going to have to deal with, rightly or wrongly. You know, and it, from a man's point of view, and I do not want to get in trouble with this, but from a man's point of view, I guess I almost feel like, you know, women, you're going to have to sort of deal with that. Just in the
wow.
same way.
Ooh,
yes. In
the same
way. No, in the same way that men have to deal with, I feel like on the flip side of that coin, you can be accused of sexual assault and didn't do it. And you can get so hammered that the rest of your life is in not a good space. You could be a convicted felon. You could be registered as a sex offender, even if you didn't do it. Or if you're in a situation where a lot of people are caught up, their girlfriend had sex with a 17-year-old because it was under the age of consent. And even though it wasn't rape per se, but by the legal definition, those are things that men have to deal with. Now, as a man, you're confronted with that. So you better choose wisely.
Well, I can tell you as a father of daughters, you better communicate. Not to tell your daughter she got to walk around like a nun, but just you have to impress upon them that what they project is how they're going
to
be treated.
That was my point when I took my young daughter to the Greek picnic, just right. to give her an example of choices. Now, how she want to run it. She's a grown right. woman now, but yeah. just to give an example of choices, and I have two daughters and two grandbabies, you know what I mean? So I'm certainly not insensitive to this question, but again, as a man, and again, I'm sure maybe what I just said is going to get me in a heap of trouble. I didn't mean it in that way. What I mean it is that living in this Western culture where women, by and large, still and largely make money and can use that as an income source. You know,
but that's the thing. Amber Rose is out here trying to parade naked to tell you I can put my body out without you feeling like you should do something to me. But I don't think that's a good message either, because you should just be careful. Like, you have to raise your children to be safe. We teach them to be safe, period, in all different contexts, just crossing the street, going down a dark alley, whatever. This is just a part of that conversation. Be safe.
But that
put yourself in compromising situations. Don't be in places that you feel are a danger to you. And as far as the whole drawing attention to your body, like, how could that conversation be wrong to have with a female to say, hey, be careful what you're wearing because it's going to draw negative attention? I feel like Amber Rose is more on a, no, wear what you want to wear. Men shouldn't touch you. And it's like, nah, actually, there are people out there who will harm you because of what you have on. And you should not tell somebody that just because you want to have freedom of speech, freedom of body. Like, you have to.
But Amber Rose,
you have to protect yourself.
I think that rings hollow because, yes, you have Amber Rose doing that. I think it comes off hollow because that's how Amber Rose makes her money. It's not like she's doing that on a noble cause. It's not like you taking a suburban housewife who's like, let's burn our bras, and you have that type of situation. Amber Rose specifically uses her body for her income. And I think that that is, I think that's an oxymoron. You want
to. It's not, though. I can be a porn star and not get raped. Right. Like, I don't deserve to be raped just because I'm a porn star. Because that's what it sounds like you're saying. Amber Rose kind of defeats her own purpose because she makes money off her body. You're just saying she shouldn't be the spokesperson because of her occupation.
I'm just saying that, first of all, nobody deserves to get raped. I guess you're right. Rape culture is
negative attention, period. Like, you're saying she shouldn't be the spokeswoman for that because she uses her body for attention to make money, but she's not using her body to get negative attention to harm herself. You see what I'm saying?
Right, I agree. No question about that. I agree 100%. But again, for you, you want men to sort of have a sort of, you know, don't look, don't say, don't touch attitude.
But that's not right, because living in Philly, we walking outside during finals in sweatpants, t-shirt, hair scarves, and still getting hollered at. So I don't even think it's a case of showing your body off or being, like, we don't even have to be, quote, sexy to get attention, negative or positive. We don't have to have an Amber Rose body for somebody to want to harm us. And I think that's the argument that people are having that might want to back Amber Rose, because it's like, hey, people are out here being raped every day.
No, I agree.
Whoever, all shapes, all sizes, is not about what you have on.
Right. I'm going to agree on that, but I only say with a caveat, the overwhelming Western culture. I mean, I think you're hitting it from a man's point of view. Again, I cannot say this strongly enough. No man has a right to put his hands on anybody that don't want him to. No,
my name is
Kurt
G, and I'm just here to engineer.
I'm just back here just taking in the conversation, my brother.
So, you know, I think certainly, but you know what? I think what this shows us is that certainly men and women are going to definitely approach this from two different runways and two different points of views. I don't think men generally, or at least people who are really thoughtful about this situation, are going to be like, yo, because of Amber Rose or Kim Kardashian, they deserve XYZ. I don't think any of us would ever say that. But as a man, it sort of is difficult for us to approach the runway of, wait a minute. Okay, she wants to project something of freedom and free body without any harm coming to. But then yet, on the flip side, you turn around because of Western culture and make money off your body at the same time. It's just because of culture.
We can't account for regular dudes that think correctly, because they're the ones that don't.
No doubt. That colored this whole conversation. I agree. Yep. No doubt. All right, well, anyway, that was a huge...
Ooh, out of that one.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yo, direct your email to kingkilla@hiphopshow.com.
Word. Directing toward me.
You did most of the talking, my brother.
And again, like
gonna,
I said,
you're going to catch it.
I feel
somebody's going to hear a snippet. They're going to get a sound bite.
And you're done.
Like Killer said.
And be all in your DMs. You bet. No, I understood exactly what you were saying. And I didn't take it any kind of negative way being in the conversation with you. But I don't know if people who are just going to listen and can't have a conversation with you are just going to be mad because they're in their own head. But no, I understand what you're saying. I don't feel like you said anything that was like, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Unfortunately, I talk too much as it is.
No, you don't. You just say what some people are either afraid to say or won't say. I mean, there needs to be a conversation because without those words, because that's your thought, right? So you are able to learn. You are able to learn. So your thoughts, good or bad, or negative or positive, or whatever they are, whatever your thoughts are, you are open enough that if somebody else says something that would bring some light to it, you good with that. You're not going to sit up here and argue like, no, she wore that shit. That's what she get. No way in the world are you ever going to say that. I know you wouldn't say that, and you never feel that. But people are going to, you know, people hear sound bites. People don't hear full sentences sometimes. So, you know what you said. Daisha co-signed it, so let's go.
So, yeah, I'm going to turn that over to Black Is Online, so...
Oh, and that's going to be a multiple series B. Whew.
All right, last
make
topic.
Sure you listen to that one.
Last topic on the Hip Hop Digest is the political minute. Young blacks voice skepticism on Hillary Clinton worrying Democrats. I only bring this up to say that in the states where it's really tight, like Ohio and Georgia, young African-American voters could make the difference between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. But most of the young African-American millennials are like, why should I have to choose between a knife and a gun?
Mm.
And my point to them is that they're young, they sound a little immature, and if Donald Trump gets elected, he's going to make Ronald Reagan look like a soul brother.
And that's where I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong.
I knew you would, and I'm glad that's why I bring that up, because I know you
but
don't
it's
fuck
easy,
with Hillary.
And it's easy. So you whatever you got yourself lathered up for, you might as well put that shit down a drain, because that was way too easy.
Oh, well, then...
Go ahead.
You go right in, because you don't really fuck with Hillary.
I'm
going
to make it easy for you then.
Okay.
I'm going to make it easy. All right. Do I need to say it again for whoever's listening to the Hip Hop Digest show for the first time? E-Color is not voting for Donald Trump. All right? But... I'm going to say this. If that man becomes president, all this whole shit that everybody's all scared of or whatever, what you need to be scared of is that the Republicans will be running shit. Not that Donald Trump will be running shit, because he ain't going to run shit, B. He is a crazy motherfucker who has incited a whole lot of shit that's been underground with a certain segment of our population. But once he gets out there and if he does become president, the first fucking dumb thing he says, he's out of there, my nigga.
I don't know about that.
It ain't about Donald Trump.
It is.
It is not. Them Republicans can't stand that motherfucker. But he is the fucking people's champion of whatever people that are voting for him that got him to this point. But anybody with fucking one-fourth of a brain, fuck half a brain, one-fourth of a goddamn brain knows that he is not at all any kind of fucking presidential material. And he will fuck up and get the fuck out of there. And they'll throw up that next dude, whoever his vice presidential candidate is. And then they will go on. Then we will have some worry.
So the point is, I'm a type of cat, again, pragmatic. I think the African Americans should vote for Hillary. I don't give a fuck about Hillary. It's not like I'm saying that like Hillary is fucking Martin Luther King. That's not what the fuck I'm saying. I'm saying that those of us who were raised under Ronald Reagan know that when you have somebody, a demagogue like Trump, and I'm going to just put it right out there, it's going to have these white boys running around and shit like we're back in charge.
And they're going to have bloody
Trump.
Mouths.
Hey, B, I'm just saying, you ain't even got to get down to that level.
Okay.
You ain't even got to get down.
I'm just saying.
I'm saying to you, just like I'm saying to my young African-American folks out there and shit, grow the fuck up. The choice in front of you is to make a choice, all this. And
anybody
I get
trying
it.
To hear that, B.
Hey, B, and I get it. Growing up, if you were 10 when Obama was elected and you're 18 now and you grew up under Obama, yo, you have a perspective that we can only dream about.
Yes, absolutely.
You have
absolutely.
A perspective that we can only dream about, but we also have a perspective of growing up under administrations where black folks caught holy hell.
Oh, for sure.
From
for
a lot of different angles.
But see, and that's the point. Because what you don't realize, what you're failing to realize, is that I am absolutely standing there right beside you. But when you're going to make it about Donald Trump, that is not the fucking issue. He ain't the issue. He is just as much alienated by those folks. And I'm not talking about these fucking people that have no idea how fucked up it will be for them. You know, they don't realize. They just see him saying make America great. They're not even caring that he is not to this day said one fucking thing what he would do in policy. Nothing.
Right.
They don't care. So it's about that person, and you can't make it about that person. If you're gonna try to champion and get young black people to vote, show them the fucking issues. Forget about the people. Show them the issues, B.
Well, again, like I said,
it ain't about the fucking. Even our beloved President Barack Obama is a motherfucking winner of a popularity contest. No different than your fucking high school. When you got a high school president, can he say, well, we're going to close school on Friday?
No, son.
He or she cannot. And neither would Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump be able to do some outrageous shit in this country.
Neither one
of them.
My prediction is simple. My prediction is this. The pragmatism that young African Americans will need to display in their future will take care of itself if your boy Trump does get elected. Because like I said, you know, Reagan is going to look like a soul brother compared to this nigga. So you can, you know, hey, you cannot vote for Hillary. You cannot be enthused or whatever and let Trump get in. But from my point of view, what point are you really making? You sound immature. You sound
you can say
immature
that all day.
You sound
immature trying to vote against a person when you need to be discussing the issues.
And if we talk about just the issues, then get
them goddamn Republicans out of here.
We can talk about issues all day, and
again, that's what's important.
We can talk, yeah, but I'm just saying. So if we're going to talk about the issues, even you yourself, my man, who don't obviously like Hillary, I get it, but you can't front on the issues that she has done and for African Americans, maybe not very successfully, not very forcefully, but you're going to put that up against Trump? That seems like an easy situation for me.
Did you hear my disclaimer that I will repeat every fucking show until the election if I have to?
I heard the disclaimer.
I am not voting for Donald Trump, so fuck what you heard.
Gee, you got a middle ground on that?
I don't really have a middle ground other than the fact that I understand that they shouldn't have to pick between a gun and a knife. That's a hell of a choice to pick. You want to get shot or stabbed. But in this situation, the gunshot's going to hurt a lot much more than a knife. So to me, if you got to pick a choice, you got to go with Hillary. You got to.
Daisha, are you involved?
America is trash. Let me tell you. My first election, this whole, oh, your ancestors died for you to vote. My first election where I voted, they lost a box of ballots and some ignorant ass nigga named Bush won. So I have like no hope in this system at all. That morning when we woke up and we still didn't have a president, I was so done. I was done. I was like, I don't care what y'all talking about. This doesn't work. Our votes
don't. That's a young person talking.
I still voted after, but I believe that it really doesn't work. So to step off of the airplane last year after being in Japan for 9 years, and I was just like, wait, y'all out here with Trump and Hillary as options? What did y'all do? What did y'all do while I was gone? This can't be life right now. And then y'all lost Bernie. I guess everybody was so gung-ho on Bernie. Now he's not there. I don't like any of it. None. Absolutely.
I hate that my daughter, who is just turned 18, has this to look forward to.
Yeah.
I'm not persuading her anyway except to vote. And I hate that she has to do what she has to do in this situation.
Like I said, what she has to do is vote. Now, who she votes for, again, I have an 18-year-old myself. Again, who Oliver's going to vote for, I don't know. But I can tell you what, again, this whole, you know, who can honestly sit up here and say they happy about the choices? Just like Daisha, it's funny because my first election was Reagan, but again, who was happy about that shit? Reagan? Mondale? I mean, what the fuck?
We watched Mondale get slaughtered.
Right.
That's what, you know what
I mean? Exactly. I mean, and I voted for Mondale.
Map was red.
Yeah, I know, right? You know, and I voted for Mondale, but I'm just saying that's just something that you, I believe, that you got to do as African Americans. Again, this, you're never, as African American, just like Spanish folks going to find out, you're never going to get a quid pro quo from a presidential candidate. Hell, you didn't even get that.
You just made a good ass point though, B, and I'm asking you personally. This is a personal, because you just brought up some real good shit. Okay, so you voted for Mondale.
Right.
In your first election, because I did too. My first election.
Okay.
Right there. That's real. It was right there. So they got smashed.
Right.
But we voted.
We did. Right.
We voted. So what do you say to people that want to vote for Jill, the third candidate or whatever? What do you say? Are you like, no, you got to vote for Hillary? Or are you saying, shit, if you want to vote for Jill, just get out there and vote for Jill?
Yo, if you want to vote for Jill Stein or Gary Johnson, go for it. See, to me, is engaging African-Americans to get out there and vote.
Okay.
See, that, see, that's the key thing, because you have more influence if you actually get out there to vote, even if you vote for the third party candidate. But if you move the needle from Gary Johnson from 15% to 19%, that's going to make motherfuckers work for your vote, because they know the vote is there.
Exactly.
Niggas
Hillary
sitting
ain't gotta
home,
work.
Right. Niggas sitting home on their hands is like, oh, fuck them. They ain't going to show out anyway. So, yeah, I'm agreeing with you. I'm not
but
saying.
But people still argue that that's the wrong message. To make people vote for this election, everybody's like, this one doesn't even matter. Y'all need to get out here for the local ones and know what's happening in your town and in your state. Like, that's, I thought that was the new message to get black people to vote, was what's actually affecting you today and tomorrow. Not important. This whole president. Like, don't get wrapped up in a presidential election. You need to get
and
on
that's
the lower
where,
level.
But that's where millennials, especially African-American millennials, are short-circuited in the fact that they grew up under the Obama example. Okay, I mean, which is a wonderful thing, but local things affect you probably quicker than national things. But
hell yeah.
But again, my premise is, although I'm supporting Hillary and I think African Americans should vote for Hillary, but that being aside, if you don't want to fuck with Hillary, you need to show out to vote. Fuck your feelings, vote. And if you want to vote and write in Mickey Mouse.
That should be the t-shirt and that should be the poster. Fuck your feelings, vote.
Right.
Wow.
And I approve this message. Fuck your feelings, vote.
Hashtag FYF.
So you're going to run with that.
Yo, that's now you can put my name to that. King Killer.
Fuck your feelings.
Fuck your feelings, vote.
Fuck your feelings, vote. King Killer.
I can't even argue with that
president.
One.
King Killer's the president.
That's what's up. So, all right.
So,
yo,
okay, before we get out of here and get into Kurt G's, what you been doing, Daysan? You was in Japan for 9 years. I was worried about you with all that radiation and earthquakes. And I mean, was worried about you. How was you living out there?
Oh, my gosh. First off, the radiation. I'm from Harrisburg. So, you know, we already 3 mile island proofed. So I was glowing before I got to Japan.
Right.
You know, crazy. The earthquakes really started getting to me last year. So the big one happened 2011, but there's little earthquakes every day. So I was used to having small earthquakes, but something about last year, the tiniest earthquake, I would have a panic attack. I would lose it. Like, I was calling home, crying to my dad. I was like, yo, I have to get out of here. I was like, I do not want to die here. Like, I was losing it. And it could be just like a little tremor. It's not even a big quake, just anything. It would set me completely off. And I'm like, okay, there's all these signs that are pushing me to get out of Japan. Because I've been wanting to leave for like 2 years, but I definitely didn't want to come back to America. I wanted to go to another country, but last June, I found out my granddad was sick. So I literally just packed up, left, and didn't even tell anybody. Like, only my close circle of friends and family. People still think I'm over there. Nobody even knows. Half the people think I'm there. The other half thinks I'm in the States visiting. Like, I've literally been in America for a whole year now.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jason Bourne.
I miss it every day. I miss it every day, and my whole New York network has been everybody I met in Japan, or I don't know, it's just been crazy. Since I've been in New York, it's been nothing but Japan still. So,
well, so are you still DJing? Are you blogging? What's going on?
No, not at all. I stopped I've been DJing in the longest time, like in Tokyo, the whole entertainment industry kind of changed. It was like a lot of different factors, and I was like, y'all not going outside, not for this. I would only go out if people would come visit. So that's why, like, you'll see my pictures with Jazzy Jeff and Clark Kent and all of them. Like, I was only stepping out the house if our people were coming to Japan. Like, that was it. But since I've been back, I'm trying to figure out what it's like to be back here. Like, I feel like a tourist. Everything's brand new. There's just things I'm learning. I feel like a little kid. Stuff has changed. Like, literally, when you're out of the country that long, it's little things that you miss that you're like, oh my gosh, what is this? And look at that. So I feel like I'm a little kid and I'm in my tourist mode. And they said it takes about 2 years for you to even feel like, you know, you're back completely. So it's been a really slow transition, nothing too exciting. America looks way scarier from outside than when you actually get here. It's not as scary as it looks. So if I could tell anybody that, it's terrifying from outside of America. Nobody wants to come back here at all. Wow. If you got kids, I wouldn't come back here. But being here now, I'm like, oh, okay, it's not that scary. It's not what I thought it was going to be.
Okay. That media is something else, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's awful.
Wow. All right, so here we go. Kurt G's World Famous Albums of the Week.
All right, this week we got IDE, Breathe Easy. That's IDE, Breathe Easy. We got Craig G, I Rap and Go Home. That's Craig G, I Rap and Go Home. And our instrumental joint is Emapia, Seeds, Roots, and Fruits. That's Emapia, Seeds, Roots, and Fruits.
That's what's up. Again, I want to thank our guest, the lovely Daisha, for coming in and help me, and for covering me on that culture talk.
That ain't my culture.
Well, I'm just saying, I appreciate you giving me some cover on that. So,
no doubt. And shout out to all the new followers this week on Facebook and on Twitter. It's awesome. Love you. Appreciate you. And keep rocking. And yes, we do have the t-shirt series rocking, so just go to, like, what is it, page 2 or page 3 of our website, G?
For the t-shirts?
Yeah.
I haven't even put them up there yet.
Okay.
So I'm lacking on there. I'm going to put the links on there this week.
And I love the graphics on the episodes. Who does that?
That's my man back here. King Killer.
Oh, I love them so much. You guys have been out here so long. They don't understand. We've been, Blog Talk? We've been podcasting since
10 years in the game.
That's when we all met. It was like, 06, 07?
Yeah. March 06 is we got in the game.
And I got to Japan March 06.
Wow. So,
yeah.
Incredible.
Long time. And you guys still out here. Y'all really out here. Thank you for having me.
thank you for sitting
in. My girl, Chi, told me to tell you that she loves you guys. She's your number one Japanese fan.
Wow.
She's listening. That's at Asian Bonita. She loves you.
What up, Asian Bonita?
So before we get out of here, I'm going to give a shout out to Sim City. See you on that Cook of Soul, son.
Yes, yeah, sir. Congratulations.
We see you working, nigga. We see you. We see you. We watch you from a distance.
No doubt. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Peace.
One.
Times change. I realize I can't change times. It's for my space. As words reveal a certain feeling, I'm feeling certain that my words revealing. To will and dare to feel a pill that's not appealing. I'm narcissistic. I cause suspicion. Smart and gifted. Calls I dealt with different. Stealth I ripped in. Magic tricks. Turn a bag of weed into a pile of sticks. I burn more than calories. But words wage war. I'm a violent beast. No silence in these streets. I hear voices. Dealt with real choices into teens. Feel work. Underground deal with real dirt. Trying to keep my hands clean but need a meal first. I feel eyes peering like side mirrors. Walls closing. The all-knowing raw poet yet to see a door open. Immaculate as inception without ejaculate. How deep it is. Real shit, you know we got spirit. Those who know feel it, cause they know godly when they hear it. My will and testament, tested, but still fulfill my destiny. I'ma get it. My will and testament, the test is to see this road ahead of me. The
within this, I'ma rep it. My will and testament, this is all I ever did, but still they wanna test my will. I'm willing to bet they did. Hardly human, the city so polluted that it's hard to breathe when human. Student of life, losing sight, but my mighty mind is full of light. Visions amongst the blind in seclusion, skeptic, pessimistic, indigenous of the region where my father lived and his father did. That's where the harp is golden, and my heart is cold as hell when it froze over. The lone soldier loading a six shooter, I'm ripping like Rick Rubin, roaming the city, ready to rip through these rulers. Sick like nuns hitting, I'm slick Rick the ruler back, rocking an eye patch to my final match. Cage fight, killing Broadway, chilling in broad daylight. When they predicted these great times, did they envision the hate crimes? These are white waters, I'm willing to fight for this life lost order, I found myself in tight quarters. My will and testament, tested, but still fulfill my destiny, I'ma get it. My will and testament, the test is to see this road ahead of me, to bless it. My will and testament, strong will, I'm still attempting this, I'ma rep it. My will and testament, this is all I ever did, but still they wanna test my will, I'm willing to bet they did. Ride alone, I die alone, the violent tone is cause they unreliable. Rifle Academy, arriving drones, survival tactics, show you the final passage. When combined they still divide, defy what they define as average. Time's passage, vast, almost passed by, but crash landed. A mad planet, I find myself a tad man. I pass plans, get pat down, sag pants, pass down the rapids. The men for rafting, I'm hoping the last half will last. I'm doubting the impact it will have on chiropractic. My back is broken, I gain the right, I'm focused, and fight for the throne, stand alone, I'm chosen, honor with the title I'm bestowing. Set upon me, the center palm trees, but broke in my apartment trying to find my car keys. It's far with gold pens, it's not what I hold, but what I know and that I know when. It's time to go and time to go in. My will and testament, tested, but still fulfill my destiny, I'ma get it. My will and testament, the test is to see this road ahead of me, to bless it. My will and testament, strong will, I'm still attempting this, I'ma rep it. My will and testament, this is all I ever did, but still they wanna test my will, I'm willing to bet they did.
Nah, they ain't doing shit, judging me and my actions. I.D., Lucky Cupiano.
Sometimes I get caught up while in the studio working or on the stage performing or overseas when touring, but I never forget to ever make you feel important. A woman will come to you with a list of demands. When you point out what's wrong, they get the wave in their hands. I'm a grown man, plus a man of my word. Any human living otherwise to me is absurd. So if you say it, then do it. If not, don't even say it. I'm at the point in my life I might feel like it's games you're playing. At a certain age, you're looking for someone to match your effort. If that's a problem with them, I'm sure there's someone better. When I make a commitment, I will put the work in. No getting caught up in scandal, no flirting, and that's for certain. I treat you like a queen, you treat me like a king. If I'm getting less than that, then we can dead the whole thing. Let's swing, baby. No wasting my time. A virtuous woman is really hard to find. No pretense, no wasting my time. Look, see, now you gotta watch peoples whose words don't match the actions. When you put 100% in, only get back a fraction. Should always be 50-50. See, love's like an investment. If your stock's underperforming, I'm sure you'll have some questions. But instead of suggestions to try to make it better, an argument ensues. She'll try to put you under pressure. But if she has an issue, you must listen intense. Then tell her your words on it without a hint of defense. But that's a double standard. I'm too old, I won't accept it. Don't fold under the rest. What I want, what I'm expecting. She'll say a million times she wants to make me happy. Instead of hearing me out, she instantly attacks me. But see, if I mention it, trust, it means I care. I'm quick to cut off people like they're not even there. I treat you like a queen, you treat me like a king. If I'm getting less than that, then we can dead the whole thing. Let's swing, baby. No pretense, no wasting my time. A virtuous woman is really hard to find. No pretense, no wasting my time. In my 20s, I thought I was a player, collecting love from women, never returning the favor. See, I had my heart broken, I vowed that I protected. It was a lonely life, but what else is to be expected? I was honest with them though, I felt they should respect it. If an arrangement got hectic, I left, looked for the exit. Never did I regret it, I did it without a conscience. It spoiled me a bit, so I don't tolerate the nonsense. See, being in this business will give you some trust issues. I live by the mantra, don't let these sluts get you. Not every woman out there is full of virtue. You gotta watch your back, make sure they don't hurt you. I treat you like a queen, you treat me like a king. If I'm getting less than that, then we can dead the whole thing. Let's swing, baby. Yeah, like that, like that. That's what I'm saying. No pretense, no wasting my time. A virtuous woman is really hard to find. No wasting my time.
I saw you walking with your new love. I knew it was over.
Uh-huh.
But it made me realize one thing.
What's that?
That I just had to get you out of my mind.
I knew from the second I seen you leave the room that it was better for one of us to be leaving soon. We had some drama, sent messages to your mama about all of the recent trauma and how you was in the streets and screaming in your pajamas. I cannot go. Another second wreck was in a pothole. Records on that stop go. Flew with you and not so. You packed up your things and rode. And I was hurt, but I was more glad to see you go. We were not meant to be. It seemed so elementary. The two people could be the couple of the century. Transforming every piece of you and every inch of me. But things became worse for both of us eventually. And so we packed it up. We moved around a bit for years trying to salvage it. But deep inside we found that it was not easy as alphabets. And I'm glad to have the peace now. We needed it together. We were great, but separately just seems to be the trip. Another cold rainy evening, another dark lonely sight. I'm staring up at the ceiling and thinking you should know tonight that I'll be wishing you the best of luck. Remembering only the best of us. We had some good times, just you and me. We're moving on, this is the eulogy. Mind locked on the past, see, I've been browsing through my time hop. It's a sublime thought that we would never make it out. About this pine box, your smile could make a spine pop. Your ass could make a dime drop. Compatibility was the small fact that was killing me. Our schedules never lined up, see, no kind of symmetry. And that slowly broke us now, brought it round to a level that was so beneath the ground, you had to dig it down. I seen your pops at the gym, spoke for a moment about the fam, and everybody said that we've been broken. He said you got a new dude, but nobody likes him. He said a couple times he even wanted to strike him. I took it all as flattery that that assault and battery was really saying that the family would really rather me. Told him everything must happen for a reason. The world turns into new seasons and I'll be in. Another cold rainy evening, another dark lonely sight. I'm staring up at the ceiling and thinking you should know tonight that I'll be wishing you the best of luck. Remembering only the best of us. We had some good times, just you and me. We're moving on, this is the eulogy.
We never tell them now we love them till they're gone, and we celebrate them and quote them all verbatim. I call them friends cause I love them even when I hate them. The rhythm celebrates their life while it's still in them. My first right hand man with rap plans, Quincy Sinet on the Senate of the Greats and Treetop Estates. I'm Cedar Hills with it, Steve Paul chill with it, dragons, dungeons, we bagging chicks for lunch and bragging over Dungeons and Dragons, which probably explains why we couldn't keep them after all the talk smacking. I walk backwards in the time where I got it cracking with a Casio SK1 with Brian. Jermaine beat a bully with a brick, lot of blood on the scene. Sure, we jumping on that big trampoline, best thing I ever seen in my life. Wanted her to be my wife cause she played video games with this lane. See, she don't want nobody to know that she played Marvel superheroes with us and all that. So give thanks and praise when you see the people you love and they living long, cause you can't tell them nothing when it's over and they gone. Good going out to the people that I love the most. We never tell them that we love them till they're gone, and we celebrate them and try to recreate them. I call them friends cause I love them even when I hate them. The rhythm celebrates their life while it's still in them. Jawad Mills, a man of God still. I remember when he was crazy and couldn't chill. Carlos was on the court killing humans with the pill. Standing on hills of broken ankles, feet dangling. Crack him in Lamar, Lindsay, funnier than funkiest man. Today I got a style and I'm a fan. On the floorboards, there goes George. Late getting to the jam cause I had to stop and pick up Big Friend. There wasn't no Kevel yet, so Rod was the guard, triple striking on them. Crazy freezes, trying to enlighten them. 11-11, Jason Brown since the second grade repping. Gold fronts looking like a weapon. Old Jaws from 007, if he was a librarian looking at it. So give thanks and praise when you see the people you love and they living long, cause you can't tell them nothing when it's over and they gone. We're going out to the people that I love most. We never tell them now we love them till they're gone, and we celebrate them and say that we don't hate them. I call them friends cause I love them and I wouldn't trade them. The rhythm celebrates their life while it's still in them. The A, the S, the A-M-O. Venus knows if I could throw my love how far I would go. Buddy Bilkey, Kenny Julius, they nobody dope. I ride hard for my niggas, Buddy Payton and Joe. A lot of dark figures try to throw a stick in the spokes. They think they see an armor chink and now they starting to poke. But I can clear this up real quick. Vladimir's my brother, so any motherfucker talking shit, eat a dick. Pureed and smeared on a potato chip. It's fatal when the four hit the floor. Destiny on some prenatal shit. Asimov till a pine box. That's the sentiment that Desi created when he put us on his journey ship. Burn with the fire, earn stripes, wearing tires out. Many miles struggling together just to run our mouth. I wanna start my own label and put Maul out. Waxwell, legendary, re-release necessary. With Mass running business, till liquor makes him a fight starter. So LJ will be his higher partner. The Austin Fist 45, when it ships, it'll come with 2 pints of hops, courtesy of Triclops. With a cover designed by Daisy and produced by Bat Sauce. So give thanks and praise when you see the people you love and they living long, cause you can't tell them nothing when it's over and they gone. They're going out to the people that I love the most. We never tell them that we love them till they're gone. Then we start balling, get drunk and try to call them. I say they friends, it ain't a trend, I ride with them. The rhythm celebrates their life while it's still in them. I'm magnetized by metal dreams because I'm under several veteran wings, helping me do better things. My next profession, a writer, follow Al Letson. For now, fresh off of the plane with Jeff Haynes. Jared Bridgman, the first cat to ever listen to my team. Illest Madden player that I ever seen. Head of me, he thought that I ain't know his name. That Bronx brother trying to bring a country boy fame. He saw it from the jump, similar to Slop Funk, which is similar to Spin's Monsters from Conscious. Wonder what would happen if I never had all of this. Song as long as hell, but I got an even longer list. This is my profession cause I wanna give my great grandson a life lesson he can give to his son. My right hand pointing right at the sun, while the flames lick the tears off my son's face. I see you when I'm done, trying to pay homage to people that gave me strength to raise you. And hopefully when you become a man, you do the same too. Hopefully when you become a man, you do the same too. Hopefully, yeah, you become a man. So give thanks and praise when you see the people you love and they living long, cause you can't tell them nothing when it's over and they gone. We're going out to the people that I love the most. To the people that I love the most.
Here we go, we gonna send this one out to the old school. All these motherfuckers in the Bronx and Brooklyn and Staten Island, Queens, and all the motherfuckers that laid it down, the foundation, you know what I'm saying? Number love for the old school, that's what we gonna do this one for, you feel me?
Coconut icy. I came through the door, said it before. That was the shit.